My goodness. You know, it is, you hear music here that you would not hear in most churches. And the reason that for that is the fact that this band can take what is considered a secular song and play it with such energy and such consciousness that it touches your heart. So thank you, band. Yeah. Well, I am so glad to be home. I have spent a week at Unity Village during what's called Nehemiah Week. They do it three times a year. Nehemiah was the prophet that took the Hebrews back home and helped them rebuild after Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. So we call it Nehemiah Week because it's a volunteer week at Unity Village where we plant and do landscaping and paint and clean up and do all kinds of wonderful things. I think I shoveled probably about 2 tons of mulch during the week while I was there, planted a whole lot of flowers. We had a grand time. And just being at Unity Village and inhaling that air that's there is quite wonderful. So it was great being there. And I thought about all of you and sent blessings while I was there. But it's good to be home too. Glad to be back here. As you have heard, this month is about power. We're doing the 12 powers through this whole year. And just to remind you to how we define power from a somewhat secular background. Power is the ability to do something or act in a particular way. The ability to make things happen. And a more spiritual perspective there, power is our innate control over our thoughts and our feelings. Now, I want to take this idea of power and see how it relates to one of the historical figures in the Bible, and that of Simon Peter. How is that connection there? Now, have you ever wondered what happened to the disciples, to the apostles, after Jesus ascended and left them to their own devices here? You ever wonder what really took place? The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot, actually. The Bible tells us, of course, that Judas, after betraying Jesus, went and hung himself. And the book of Acts also tells us that James, the son of Zebedee, was executed by Herod. The rest of them, it's secular history, or it's church history, but it's not in the Bible as such. So much of what we know has been filled in by the church historians. There was Irenaeus and Hippolytus and Eusebius were the major ones who wrote great volumes. Eusebius had a volume about that thick about church history, about what happened during the time of the early church and how it grew. Let me share with you a passage of scripture that opens the door to taking a look at Simon Peter in this context. From Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," or the Christ is another word for that. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, or Petros, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." When Jesus was talking to Peter, he was commending him for his openness and his understanding in that particular moment. And he said, "You are Petros," which means rock. And that is also the name Peter. And that's why he became known as Simon Peter. His original name was Cephas. And that is another version of Simon. So Peter had this encounter with Jesus where he answered Jesus' question very quickly and very accurately, very truly. Now, we can infer from reading the scriptures, Simon Peter was impetuous, he was impulsive, he was bold, he was brash. He was always the first one on the spot to jump up and make something happen, make something, cause something different to happen. One of the things that we read in the scriptures is that the disciples were in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, and they saw Jesus walking on the water toward them. Guess who jumped up and said, "Bid me come to you, Master"? Good old Simon Peter. He was the first one to jump up and went over the side of the boat and walked on the water out to Jesus. And of course, when he realized what he was doing, he got scared and he started sinking and Jesus grabbed him, pulled him up. But it was Peter. None of the rest of them jumped out of the boat to take care of this or take advantage of this opportunity. A little bit later on in the story, when Jesus is in the garden with the disciples and the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, it was Peter who yanked out his sword and cut off the soldier's ear. Peter, not any of the rest of them. So Peter was always jumping up and acting in that way. You know, him walking on the water reminds me of a story, though. There was a Unity minister, a Baptist minister, and a Catholic priest in a boat fishing out on the lake. They were good friends, and they had a cooler of beverage, whatever it was. And after a while of being out there fishing, nature began to call. So the Unity minister stood up and said, "Excuse me, gentlemen, I'll be right back." And he walked across the water to the shore and went in the bushes and took care of business. Came back. A little while later, the Baptist minister said, "Excuse me, gentlemen," got up, walked across the water, and went in the bushes and took care of business and came back. The Catholic priest was not going to be outdone here, so he said, "Okay, excuse me, gentlemen." He stepped out the boat and went, whew, disappeared. And they pulled him out sputtering and kept him from drowning, put him in the boat. And the Unity minister looked at the Baptist minister and said, "Don't you think we ought to have told him where the stumps are?" I told that joke in the presence of a Catholic priest, and he didn't appreciate it very much, but anyway. So Peter is the one who acts impetuously, in the moment. First, whatever comes to his mind is out of his mouth. That seems to be the way he was. So I wanted to talk to you about the rise, the fall, and the rise of Simon Peter. When Jesus was talking to the disciples and said, "You know, what's the gossip about me around town?" And the disciples said, "Well, some saying you're this and some saying you're that." And Jesus brought it home and he looked at them and said, "What do you say? Who do you think I am?" Guess who spoke up first? There was Peter, right on the mark. He was the first one to say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, you're blessed because you didn't figure this out with your humanness. You didn't figure this out with your mind. You figured this out with your heart. And God told you this truth," and Peter revealed it very quickly. But he was the first one to jump up and do that. It elevated Peter in the eyes of the other disciples, and he was a great leader among them for a while. He carried this idea, this understanding, that they were in the presence of the Christ. Now, the word Christ, I have a boogaboo about this. So many people think that Christ was Jesus' name. And it irritates me to no end when even Unity people say Christ said this or Christ said that. Christ was a title. It wasn't a name. It means the anointed one. So Jesus Christ means Jesus the anointed one. And any one of us, were we bold enough, could look in the mirror and say, "Hey, there's Lawrence Christ." And you kind of want to wait for the lightning to come when you do that. But it's a title. It means the anointed one. And if you have breath in your body, you are the anointed one. The presence of Christ is in you no matter what. But Peter recognized when he saw Jesus, he said, "I see the Christ in you." Now, the interesting thing is you often hear people saying, "Oh, I behold the Christ in you." If you don't really behold the Christ in somebody, don't say that. Because if you don't behold the Christ in yourself, you can't behold the Christ in anybody else. I've spoken recently to you that if you don't love yourself, you can only love other people to the degree that you love yourself. And you can only recognize the Christ in someone else, recognize that they are the anointed of God, unless you see it in yourself as well. So Peter took a great leap in faith here, a great leap in spiritual maturity when he looked at Jesus and said, "I behold the Christ in you." And Jesus said, "Hot dog, that works. At last, Peter, you've done something sensible here." But it was still impetuous of him to do that right up front when he jumped up and said, "You are the Christ." So we see the rise of Peter's consciousness as he recognizes the Christ there. But very soon something happens. As the ministry of Jesus comes to an end, he tells them some things that are going to happen. He says, "One of you is going to betray me," speaking about, that means say something. Judas was the one who was going to betray him. And then Jesus looked at Peter, whom he had just given this great compliment, and said, "And you're going to deny me three times." And Peter jumped up and said, "Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not." I can just imagine Peter going on and on about this. Well, he did. As the story goes on, when Jesus was arrested and they were torturing him and putting him on this fake trial that they had, the disciples were hanging around on the periphery of things, watching what was going on. And somebody said, "Oh, I recognize you. You were with him." And what did Peter do? He said, no, I was not. And a second time someone said, oh yeah, I saw you. Yeah, it was the day before yesterday out by the temple. And Peter said, no, I did not. I don't know him. Then a third time someone said, I know you. You're one of the followers of this crazy Jesus, aren't you? And Scripture says he cursed, said, I do not know him. Can you imagine what was going on in Peter's heart when he realized what he had done? In that moment of being impetuous and brash and bold and in the moment, those words came out of his mouth. And can you imagine how he felt when he realized that he had just done exactly what Jesus said he was going to do? He denied that he knew him. So Peter, who so eloquently had spoken about Jesus being the Christ and had risen in his consciousness to this place of power, now had fallen. Now he had nothing, it seemed. Now that's not the end of the story, of course. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the Bible doesn't tell us what really happened to the rest of the disciples other than John and Judas and James. But the church historians that wrote later gave us some background about what was happening. What happened after Jesus ascended is that Peter, who had raised so high and gone so low, once again gave himself to the work of spreading the gospel. And he became a great and powerful evangelist all over Asia. And he and Paul began the church in Rome and got things started there. And he was well known as being a powerful, powerful representative of the gospel. And it said, the history tells us that at the time of his death, that he requested to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus was. And whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it tells of where his consciousness was. So we see in the life of Peter and his relationship with power, which is the ability to make things happen, which is the ability to control our thoughts and feelings. Peter rose to a great height when he looked at Jesus and said, you are the Christ. And he fell to a great depth when he said, I do not know him. And he raised once again in consciousness when he became this powerful, great missionary and traveled the then world carrying the gospel to many, many people. Now, there's several things that this experience of Peter and the life of Peter teaches us about power. One of the things is that power is present in and of itself. Power exists in its complete form. There is no diminishment. There is no wearing away. There is no disappearing. There is no holding back. Power, as with all of the other 12 faculties that we have, is always present. It is always there. It is waiting on us to be embraced and to be manifested. So Peter, in that moment when he was open, he was aware, he was willing. Spirit spoke through him, through his heart, and he looked at Jesus and said, you are the Christ. So the power was there in that moment. So what happened that Peter would fall, that Peter would lose that power and end up denying Jesus, not once, but three times? There was nothing wrong with the power. There was nothing wrong with the ability to control thoughts and feelings, to make things happen. The variable is our own consciousness. We have the authority to choose what is going to be manifested in and through us. We have the authority to say yes or no to all of the spiritual faculties, in particular power today. The power doesn't change, but we do. First, Peter said yes to the power, and he recognized through spiritual intuition the Christ in Jesus. And then he turned his attention back to his humanness, to his fear of being discovered and being punished. He turned his focus back to his humanness, and in a sense, he fell. He lost that sense of power. The power had not changed. The power had not gone away. What had gone away was Peter's attention and Peter's desire, and Peter's action. So we find the power being manifested in a powerful way, the power being manifested not at all. But then again, Peter turned back to his attention to the great commission that Jesus had given the disciples to go and tell everybody about this good news. And once again, that power began to flow through Peter. Not because the power left and came back, but because Peter's attention came back. Because Peter's willingness, because of his awareness that came back. So what we can learn from this story, one of the things that we learn from this story, is that no matter how high you rise in this spiritual power, you can fall. If you turn your attention away from the spiritual power and back to the flimsy things of being human. So no matter how high we can fall, and no matter how low we fall, we can rise once again by turning our attention, turning our focus back to the spiritual truth that is within us. Now it's so important, I cannot say this too much, that the power, not only the faculty of power, but all of our 12 faculties are always there. The variable is not in the power. The variable is in us, in our awareness, in our willingness. Because sometimes it's easy for us to slide back into our humanness rather than taking the narrow road of spirituality. Sometimes it's easier for us to hide than to be seen out front, living that spirituality out. And it's very important for us to remember that the spiritual faculty is always there, waiting for us. I know that we all hate to wait. And the song mentioned a moment ago about praying, and if you're not going to answer the prayer, just leave me alone. I don't want to wait. Well, the waiting is on our part, not on God. The waiting is on God's part, not on ours. We're not waiting on the power. The power is waiting on us. And we can see from the life of Peter, when we open ourselves in that moment, and sometimes it's not deliberate. Sometimes it's letting go of all the human stuff, and the Spirit rises up. And we can rise, and we can fall, and we can rise, and we can fall. And this can happen over and over. How many of you have only fallen once? Yeah. How many of you have ever started something and not finished it only once? How many of you have ever questioned your spirituality only once? I don't imagine any of us have done that. It goes up and it goes down, up and down. And sometimes after a few of those cycles, we begin to get down on ourselves and wonder what's wrong with me? What's going on here? And what's going on is that our attention is turned from that spiritual focus back to our humanness, back to our fear, back to our perception of lack. And all that we need is already there. It was for Peter. That power was there when Peter's mind and heart were open and he said, "You are the Christ." It was there when Peter went down so low and said, "I don't know him." And it was there when Peter once again said, "I will step forward and I will be a missionary. I will be a carrier of that great truth of the gospel. And I will go everywhere Spirit leads me and do that work." And he did. And so can you. God bless you.
Well, here we go this week, venturing out again, being aware of our power. Sometimes it's just the little tiny things that you can just practice with calling on that power. Do you have the power to be honest when you might be a little afraid of what the consequences might be? Do you have the power to stay in integrity? Do you have the power to be loving when somebody's grating on your last nerve? Do you have the power to think about abundance? And here we are at offering time. Don't let fears and old thinking and whatever it is interrupt your flow of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. In all ways, kindness, love, finances, of course. So again, biggest thanks to those who have contributed not only to our seat promotion here to pay for our new seats, but your continuous giving to Unity of Pompano Beach. This is our only source of income. We don't get anything from Unity Village. In fact, we tithe to them. They are our source of spiritual support. So we ask you to consider giving. There's the easy donate button on the live stream if you are there. If you're on Facebook, you can go to the website and access that. Our wonderful congregation here this morning, I'd say we have about 20 here. You're welcome to use the offering plate. However you give, we thank you. We thank you for your gifts. And so let us bless our offerings today. And we'll use our standard blessing that we've used for years now. Why? Because we like it. And it reminds us that power is always with us. So with a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack. And we're going to allow power to unfold in our lives. Power is ours. Power and more power is ours. An ever-increasing power is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this power. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it. And it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen. Amen.